people are dropping out of the American labor force despite new jobs created. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. New numbers from the government today show the economy in June created 223,000 more jobs last month. Now, that's a bit less than experts were predicting, and the previously reported totals for April and May were revised downward. That's from a survey of payrolls. A parallel survey of households finds the unemployment rate down to 5.3%. Let's see what Diane thinks about this. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Depending on one's perspective, there's things to like and not like in this report.
Really, it's a glass half full, but not able to quench everyone's thirst. We've got 220,000 jump in jobs. That's good news. The problem is the unemployment rate didn't fall for all the right reasons. We saw things like teens continue to drop out of the labor force. They've been pushed out by older workers in low-wage jobs since the onset of the crisis, and their inability this far in to even be willing to throw their hat in the ring and look is really somewhat disturbing. We also saw average hourly earnings disappoint. They flatlined in the month of June and were up only 2% from a year ago. That's a deceleration. We're moving in the wrong direction on some of these indicators that the Fed watches so closely.
Well, let's get back to your point about the labor force participation rate. I think it slipped to its lowest level in 38 years. That's like 1977, if I have the math right. What does that measure?
It measures the willingness of people to actually look for a job. Now, some of it is people have retired out, and we have seen that accelerate in recent years because we have an aging of the labor force. We also, though, have these millennials not even looking for a job and being willing to throw their hat in the ring and say, I think I can find a job. I'm hopeful. It's not just the rate itself, but the willingness of people and ability of them to go out and look for jobs. That's the sense of how strong the underlying labor market is.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you for this.
Thank you.
The U.S. will open an embassy in Havana, so said the president yesterday, a significant step showing that efforts to normalize relations with Cuba are ticking along. But large pieces of the trade embargo still stand, and only Congress can lift them. If that happens, many U.S. exporters would stand to benefit, including American rice farmers. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson checked in with some growers to see how they're feeling now.
I caught Ray Stoser in his truck on a Texas highway.
From rice field to rice field.
He grows about 4,000 or 5,000 acres of rice and would really like to see some of it head to Cuba.
We as farmers, we analyze what the market is, what people want to buy, and we grow it. Right now, we don't have enough buyers, and that's why the rice price slipped so much.
Rice prices have taken a hit this year, but Stoser thinks if the U.S. could sell to Cuba, which was a major importer before the embargo, that increased demand might help prices recover. But Louisiana grower Fred Zombreaker says margins are so slim right now, you don't see growers investing in new equipment or planning for their new potential customers.
We really can't bank on it or grow a crop on it or make financial decisions on it until it's actually opened and our markets are responding to that demand.
In the meantime, he'll start harvesting this year's crop in a couple weeks and keep an eye on Congress. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
The debt-mired Greek economy is now nearly immobilized ahead of a public referendum on Sunday about a bailout. This is also the week Puerto Rico is at or close to default on its debt. Other lessons here for America about borrowing. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been reflecting on this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So what is then the lesson of Puerto Rico and the mess in Greece? Is it what your Depression-era grandma and grandpa told you, that all debt is bad always?
No. All debt is not bad always. Debt can be smart, but here's the thing, David. We lose sight of the fact that this economy is volatile, and if people take on too much debt, then they become incredibly vulnerable. And so that's what we want to avoid, the volatility that's associated with too much debt.
And when you think about government policy, it's designed to encourage us to borrow.
Interest is deductible, and equity isn't. We need to deal with debt over time and make debt less attractive, because right now, you're going to borrow. You're not going to use equity. And if you're a business and if you're a homeowner, you know, the tax code still says buy and borrow as much as you can, because guess what? You get a bigger deduction.
And it's not just individuals with our mortgages, right? It's also businesses.
There was a 2005 Congressional Budget Office study, and it said that if a corporation finances an investment with debt, it has a effective tax rate of -6.4%. If it finances that investment with equity, it's an effective tax rate of 36%. So how do you think you're going to finance investment?
All right. So we have what? At my last count, 14 Republicans and 4 Democrats have announced for president 2016. Not exactly a cacophony of shouting about equity versus debt and the tax code.
Well, okay. First of all, you know, I'm an optimist. Hope springs eternal. But I do think we need tax reform. And if we're going to have tax reform, let's change the way we treat debt and equity. And let's have a level playing field between the two.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks, David.
So the Greek government is urging voters to say no on Sunday to the conditions the European Union is requiring for a new financial rescue. Greece's finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, said signing a deal requiring cuts without restructuring Greece's debt would be unthinkable. I'd rather cut my arm off, he told Bloomberg News. If there is a yes vote, the finance minister said he'll quit right away. It's also possible his whole government would fall. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.